So immediately Srila Prabhupada challenged in a humble way, because in his own words, he said, at that time I was a nationalist, follower of Gandhi, in the name of Swaraj. And he challenged, not in an arrogant way, in a very humble way, because it was the most worthy question that anyone would want to have answered at that time. That the whole of India was enslaved and enraged at the oppression of the British. I said, how is a slave going to broadcast the message of Lord Gauranga worldwide? First, let us obtain our liberation, our Swaraj, and then we can preach, and then people will listen. And Srila Bhakti Sansa Saraswati, no. The message of Lord Gauranga is independent of any political climate, and it's urgent, it cannot wait. Srila Prabhupada echoed these words in his own paraphrase that in that same lecture in 1968 he was saying that you're, toward the end of his lecture, he was saying, you have all come to assist me. You're representatives of the Guru Maharaj. And then he began to cry. So then after giving the life instructions, Srila Prabhupada took prasad and was served with such love and care by the Gaudiya devotees. His heart was touched. So when they came out, and his friend Narayan asked, what do you think? He said, the message of Lord Gauranga is in the most worthy hands. He is a real sadhu. And Srila Prabhupada said, I accepted him then and there. Not officially, but in my heart as my guru. So the force of intellect, which is beyond the ability of mortals to embody, enthuses the great souls who are surrendered to the mercy of the Lord, and is proof of the Lord's inexhaustible, merciful blessings upon them. The divine powers descending in and through the words of the Guru Parampara. And the life of these great devotees is so enriched with the sweetness of loving devotion and humility that it can attract our hearts away from the thraldom of illusion. And we become attracted by their compassion. And Krishna refuses to accept the worship of those who neglect his devotees because it betrays a pride that we think we can commune with the Lord without the blessings and the mercy of his agents. So hearing the lives of these great souls awards the deepest satisfaction and hope and joy to the heart. And it washes away all the darkness and despair and sin and selfishness which separates us from the light and love of Lord Gauranga's mission. And the Lord's deputed agents in this world are so deeply enriched and endowed with forgiveness that when they pray for our salvation, Krishna takes notice and begins working in our lives. Just like when Srila Prabhupada had his business in Allahabad, and the Gaudiya Math devotees came there and looked him up, and he was so happy to be able to serve them and make his house into a preaching center. And then, describing this incident in his lecture, Srila Prabhupada said, when I began serving them, then my business began failing, my family life started falling apart. Yasyahama nagrami harishirita dhanamshina. And Krishna took direct action in his own life. Because Krishna cannot resist the heart-rending prayers of his devotees. And when they favor us, Krishna takes charge of our lives and activates and orchestrates everything in creation to bring us home. And that's why in his lectures about Guru Tattva, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was emphasizing toward the end of his Leela that we should be trained, that when we actually engrave words and instructions of Gurudev in our hearts, then we see and hear Guru in everyone and everything. And then he quoted the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where the gopis are going to every leaf and every tree and every bush and every creeper and every deer and everything and everyone, asking, have you seen Krishna? Where has he gone? And by their message or their silence or the wind or the direction or whatever, they would indicate, they're all directing us towards Krishna. Because Guru is Krishna, that divine energy which unites us with Krishna and works in and through everything and every one creation. But we must actually engrave the instructions of Guru in our hearts and protect it from anarthas and material desires, which again darkens our lives with our previous kind of relapse, in order to hear and see this divine message resounding throughout everyone and everything in creation. So, just hearing the lives of the devotees and their appearance and disappearance days and their samadhis are so imbued with this divine energy that it washes away all the envy and enmity and hatred and ego and darkness in our hearts and makes them malleable to the will of Krishna, which is conveyed only through the words and the instructions of his representative. When Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati actually started dispatching his disciples to preach in the West, they had some success in England because, you know, Lord Zetland and others had already been very much impressed with Indian culture. And they had pictures taken with dignitaries and gave many lectures which had some kind of response. And they actually brought back two German bhaktas who became Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's very good disciples. Because Germans, you know, they really appreciate the finest. They're very astute in analyzing what is really the ultimate in anything. And they accepted that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's teaching, Lord Rama's mission, is the essence, which also harmonizes all other varieties of, and excels all other forms of spiritual realization. But as some devotees noticed, these preachers in the West, these first preachers in the West, although endowed with superhuman intellect, they didn't have what Srila Prabhupada had as far as implicit faith in the Holy Name. Which means that he really personified the essence of his guru's teachings. And he conveys it to this day to anyone who takes his instructions as their life and soul. So toward the end of his Leela, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati began manifesting his prophetic abilities, understanding there would be so much oppression, so much opposition, and really emphasizing humility and love in working together. His later instructions are very illuminating as far as condensing the essence of all his previous instructions. Just before leaving this world, at which time he actually wrote Srila Prabhupada again, responding to his letter, I think he asked, how can I really assist you? And he told the other devotees, in time he will do everything. And just encouraged him again. Just, if you ever get money, print books and dedicate your life to preaching in the Western world. And Srila Prabhupada also commented that many times he would appear to me in a dream as that effulgent sannyasi beckoning, come with me. And Srila Prabhupada understood, he's beckoning, I take sannyas, and it's horrible. In Prabhupada's own words, this is horrible. Why is Guru Maharaj saved? Because I would, Srila Prabhupada said, I was thinking I'd be successful in business and make money and print books. But so, concluding all his previous teachings, presenting their essence just before leaving this world, he said, emphasize with great enthusiasm, preach the message of Sri Rupa and Raghunath to everyone, because our ultimate goal is just to be dust at the lotus feet. What does this mean? Sri Rupa is so, Sri Rupa amongst the Manjis, a very young, innocent, most pristine embodiment of selflessness in the entourage of Radhan Krishna. Sri Rupa Manji is in charge of newcomers into the entourage of the Lord, which means preaching. Reclaiming from conditioned souls, training them for entrance into the Nityalila of the Lord. All of you remain united, he emphasized, in allegiance to the Ashraya Vigraha, the shelter-giving devotee of the spiritual master, in order to satisfy the transcendental senses of Sri Krishna. And he forewarned, do not give up the worship of Hari despite hundreds of dangers, hundreds of insults, and hundreds of persecutions. The line of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura will never be closed. And he emphasized all the more, with enthusiasm, which attracts the empowerment of Guru and Krishna, preach. Because the desire of the line of Bhaktivinoda Thakura will never be closed, and with ever more enthusiasm, you should become engaged and stay engaged in preaching the desire of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura's heart. And then he paraphrased in his own words the Shikshastakam, especially Trinadapi Sunijana and Taragadapi Sunijana. So in the morning of December 31st, 1936, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati requested Srila Sridhara Maharaj to sing Shirupa Manjari Pada, indicating the destination he was yearning to achieve. And Naveen Krishna Das to sing Shikshastakam. And then requesting all his bodies to form and follow the GPC to manage. Because he really emphasized Brihat Madanga, the big Madanga, which would have a sustaining, a widespread and sustaining message in books and an institution, which means headaches. But it's necessary for the ongoing and widespread preaching. So this is the compassion of the true devotees of Godhead. So then he proclaimed his blessings to all present and absent and reminded, bear in mind, our sole duty in religion is to propagate service to the Lord and his devotees. And then that Simha Guru, that tireless preacher, the ray of Vishnu, which illuminated or inaugurated the illumination of the Western world, set again. As he returned at the same time Jagannath Babaji did, to the service of his Lord in his pastimes with his divine mistress, when they are embraced in such tight affection as to be symbolic of Lord Gauranga. And actually in that very sacred, special temple of Nidiran. Lord Chaitanya's form and mission was first revealed in that dream of Srimati Radharani, which when she explained it to Krishna, saying how all these devotees on the bank of some river in a land which resembled my own but was different were chanting this name of Gauranga. And when I hear this name, I feel the same stirring into my soul as hearing your name. Who is this? I feel that it's you, and it's also me containing that name. And Krishna just smiled and touched this kastuba, which revealed the meaning for her to see that their lila, Radha and Krishna, is contained. It's not different from that of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But there is a difference, not in essence, but in emphasis. Radha and Krishna's lila is the manifestation of Madhurya, that sweetness, beauty, and charm which captivates the hearts of their servants, making them solely dedicated to their every whim and will and pleasure. Audarya is the counterpart of that sweetness of love. And as Srila Bhagavan Thakur himself explains, each is contained in the other in full. But sometimes one takes prominence. When Madhurya takes prominence, that's Braj. When Audarya, magnanimity, mercy, preaching takes prominence, that's Navadvipa, that's Gauranga. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, at the same time that Jagannath Babaji entered into the service of the Lord as he rests with Srimati Radharani and Nidivan, at that hour in the pre-dawn lila, in which they're so tightly embraced as to convey, as to personify, how they're inseparable in the form of the golden avatar, their inseparable love, from which flows the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, and comes through his devotees. Because the blessings of Krishna and Lord Gauranga only follows in the wake of the blessings of his devotees. So this current of Lord Gauranga's love is ever flowing into this world, but it comes in cycles, because the rising of the sun and its travels to the Western world, it also sets, but from darkness light always returns. And she says, Srila Prabhupada lamenting that when his guru left, the world was again plunged into the darkness, and Srila Prabhupada said, I cried in such grief. And similarly, when Srila Prabhupada departed from our earthly vision, it was again as if darkness had just eclipsed all our hopes and dreams and aspirations. But the very essence of Lord Gauranga's teachings, the very essence of rasa, is love and separation, in which the external world just becomes eclipsed by an internal realization that we're really never separate from our Lord and Master, Srila Prabhupada. Inasmuch as we adhere faithfully and strictly with single-minded devotion to his instructions, we'll never be bereft of his guidance and companionship. He reasons ill who tells the Vaishnavas die, and they're living still and sound. The Vaishnavas die to live. Living, we try to spread the holy name around. So die to live means as the false ego dies and there is darkness to our external perception, the eternal light of the life of the soul begins to again take prominence in our consciousness. So these cycles go on in the universe in darkness, in which again the sun always rises in the east, conveying its illumination to the Western world in time. But actually, as all the previous acharyas in Bharatvarsha personified and taught and proclaimed to the world the glory of the individual rasa with Krishna, which alone possesses the ability to captivate the Lord's mind, and proclaimed it to the world, reaching Western shores and times and inaugurating Western religions to follow. The teachings of rasa, in the instructions of Lord Ramananda Rai, culminate in the love and separation which awakens a relationship which can, in which even death does not have the last word. And that's why this love and separation is so precious. The Vapu, which is so important as far as learning proper dealings with Vaishnavas and service to everyone and preaching and etiquette and interactions, is so precious. But in time, must pass away to give prominence to more deeper, more sustaining relationship, which even death cannot sever, that love and separation, which Srila Prabhupada personified in a life of dedication and fulfilling the order of his spiritual master and leaving such a precious guiding light for others to follow. And that taking the instructions, the Vani of Gurudev, as our guiding light in life, will ensure that we'll never be bereft of his company, his inspiration, his guidance, as we conclude our sojourn in this dark world and prepare to enter the land of eternal light in the association of Srila Prabhupada and the previous acharyas in their divine service to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Radha and Krishna. Thank you very much. Are there any questions or comments? There's always circumstances in the lives of the great souls that is somewhat bewildering to all our conceptions. And ultimately, we have to judge by the fruits. You judge a tree by its fruits, which means also you ultimately judge any action by its fruits. Because to him, this Guru Maharaj is perfectly present in his picture. But that may do for sannyas, but it'll never do for diksha, which necessitates a living embodiment of a guide. But Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati did not find anyone, you know, bestowing sufficient inspiration for this intense commitment of sannyas. So he accepted from his Guru Maharaj, who had already departed. But to judge by the fruit, he was contemplating that for empowerment and success in preaching sannyas is essential. And that empowerment was definitely personified in the rest of his lila, which is testimony that his sannyas initiation was authorized and empowered with the actual blessings of his sannyas guru. So, judge by the fruit.
At the same time, he also adopted the dress of a tree dungi. So, took the external dress of a tree dungi sannyas in order to. That was part of the revival of respect for preaching that mission.
Yeah. Yeah, he was so much inspired by Ramanuja Sampradaya, right? In there. Tridandi sannyas function, which so he revived the dignity and sanctity of that ashram. What's that? Guru Tattva, Dham Tattva, and Shiva Tattva are very difficult realizations to grasp. But just as we were saying in the interactions between Jesus and Judas, it's very interesting actually. I just touched upon it last time that in the Last Supper, you know, this custom amongst those Vaishnavas, you know, they would really commune during a meal and they would express loving exchanges by breaking the bread and dipping it into something and handing it to one another. So Jesus did that. He broke the bread, you know, dipped it into the bowl or whatever it was, and handed it to Judas and told him, whatever you have to do, do it quickly. And then Judas ran off into the night. He must have some mission for him. And they came back with the guards. So Jesus was aware that he would be betrayed, and he revealed. And actually, he could have avoided the whole thing. As was it Luke tells it? I believe, or was it John? I can't remember. But anyway, they could have escaped from Jerusalem, gone back to Galilee. Jesus knew what was coming. But he knew that he had to enter into that. He had to undergo that suffering to actually manifest his calling. As we all do, we have to enter into the darkness and the suffering if we really want to manifest our calling. So anyway, Guru Tattva is one of the truths which along with Dham Tattva and Shiva Tattva are very difficult to grasp. But basically, it means, as Judas personifies the antithesis, we really have to attentively hear and inquire sufficiently to really understand what is our Guru's message. You have to really get a clear understanding, not an intellectual one. Intellect is useful, but ultimately, a very humble submission of the heart will convey the essence of truth in regards to Guru Tattva. It will be conveyed from a very humble, submissive, inquiring heart, which begins by understanding what is Guru really trying to convey. Do I really understand his instructions properly? Because any misunderstanding, any misrepresentation will ultimately manifest in a betrayal, which really means betrayal of oneself. Whereas imbibing his message in our hearts and containing it, protecting it submissively and carefully, and fortified with strict sadhana, that will really convey his message and his mission and his spirit so that it can grow and be personified and conveyed in our own lives. And when our understanding and when the spirit is really substantially conveyed like that, then you progress into the realm that Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati was revealing when he was reciting Caitanya Charitamrita as far as the gopis going to every leaf, every tree, every bird, every creeper, every everything. And just the direction of the breeze or the movement of the deer or whatever indicated the path to Krishna. Now, you know, the deer weren't saying anything, and the creepers weren't really expressing. But because when you really imbibe the spirit and the teachings of Guru in your heart, then you'll find it confirmed and affirmed, and it becomes a visualization in your consciousness, and everything you perceive becomes an affirmation, a confirmation, a visualization of Gurudev's teachings. Everything's saying the same thing. When you take that one commitment to his words, it's your life and soul, then as that internal realization blossoms into everything you say and do and perceive, and every interaction you have, it all becomes a living reality where Guru is with you at all times. And as Srila Prabhupada said in that lecture to the devotees, you're representatives by Guru. He started crying, meaning that he was seeing us as his Guru. What does that mean? You know, these Western people, so uncivilized and uneducated and uncultured, barbaric. And Prabhupada, just because, you know, we felt some attraction to Srila Prabhupada to come and hear and follow, he was saying that you've come to assist me in my service to Guru, you're his representatives. He was saying that the devotees were representatives of his Guru Maharaj. So that's another personification, an example of what Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was teaching in his explanation from Chaitanya Charitamrita, that when you really imbibe the message and spirit of Gurudev in your heart, then you'll see as an affirmation, confirmation, and visualization, everything is pointing in the same direction. But you'll never get that indication without really engraving his words within your heart and submissively containing them and protecting them with the fortification of good sadhana and strong humility. And then, gradually, you'll see that everyone and everything is conveying the same message. It's directing me back to the service of Guru and Krishna in the spiritual world. As it was once said, if you have many gurus, you have no guru. But if you really surrender to one guru, then you have many gurus. Which means, you know, some people, they'll take some wisdom from here and there and everywhere, but they won't really surrender or dedicate their lives to anybody. So they may say they got many gurus, but they don't really have any. But if you really surrender and dedicated to one, then Guru is everywhere and working through everyone, whether they realize it or actually convey it or not. But in your perception, it'll be revealed how everyone and everything is working to direct us back to home, back to God. But it all begins by accepting the order of Guru as one's life and soul, and, you know, containing that within your heart, the most precious, sacred place of your being. Protecting it from, you know, my sadhana and humility, which grants, you know, divine protection for our little infinitesimal jiva attempts. And then you'll see that throughout all creation, everything and everyone is echoing the same message. Whether they know it or mean it or not, we'll have the perception to understand and follow instructions of Gurudev, and actually imbibe what Srila Prabhupada was saying when he that revolutionary remark, you're representatives of my Guru Maharaj. How could he say that? Because he had such deep humility and conviction and commitment to his Guru that he was seeing in everyone and everything. And that's love.
I think that we're in a unique situation as part of a worldwide institution.
Yeah.
So it may be that you find yourself in a position where you want desperately to focus on your research and master's instruction, but the demands of the institution may require you to also assist in kind of a bigger picture. So I guess the question is, how does one understand how to balance those two realities?
Well, there's three major manifestations of guru. There's Krishna, there's the Acharya, and there's Super Soul. So when we're placed into apparently conflicting predicaments where we may know Gurudev's instruction for a certain place and a certain time, or say a certain place, but the timing is not right. Because to really commit yourself to that instruction at that time would violate relationships, violate love and trust, which means a violation of a more crucial matter. Then you have to work with the time along with the place and the circumstance and the instruction. Because we see in the final instructions of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, as with the final instructions of Srila Prabhupada, after they gave every other conceivable instruction regarding a 10,000 year worldwide mission, they really emphasize love and trust. So, there are some of us here in Vrindavan that understood, that heard and understood that Srila Prabhupada's instructions for this particular place, because he gave so many instructions in so many places, but here he really emphasized, you know, I'll paraphrase, but it was basically a communion with the environment. That sambandha means not only, you know, relationship with Krishna is a very narrow, because relationship with Krishna, sambandha means relationship with the environment. In a farm, in a rural community, which is meant to be a relic of Vrindavan, there should be communion between all aspects of nature, and the land, and the cows, and the oxen, should all be engaged in a sankirtan. Sankirtan can mean, it means everyone engaged in the chanting, and it also means all elements engaged in the chanting, which means nothing can be left out. The nature, the fields, the oxen, they all have to be engaged according to their natural propensity. And there are certain, you know, vrindavasins who live this life and understand this, but in present circumstances, to be too enthusiastic in pursuing that aspect of Gurudev's instructions might violate the love and trust of the evolution of the Dhamma and what's transpiring in any particular circumstance and time. So therefore, after giving all these instructions on such a wide range of activities in such a wide range of places and circumstances, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati and Srila Prabhupada came back again to the very essence, the most crucial emphasis of instructions, which is love and trust and cooperation. Because someone may be very gifted and very realized and very empowered and able to fulfill the very things he emphasized here. But if that is not done with utmost sensitivity to everyone else's mission and calling and realization, to the extent that he would violate the deeper sacraments and most tender intricacies of love and trust, then everything is lost. Whereas to proceed with faith in our particular realization, but in utmost sensitivity with everyone else's realization, and the time factor of how it's all unfolding, will ensure that we will be instrumental in the fulfillment of what we understand as the most essential teachings for a particular place. So it's very wonderful how our acharyas and Krishna himself would give, you know, instructions that would just cover everything. But as they prepare to culminate and terminate their earthly lila, get to the most essential, crucial elements, which have to be honored above and beyond all others. and which by adhering to, all others will be fulfilled. So love, trust, and cooperation were the final themes of their teachings in this world, which we have to take as the last word in their instructions, the most important. And simultaneously, very hopeful, because by adhering to that is the essence, everything else will be fulfilled in time. Srila Prabhupada, he wanted to preach in the West, he wanted to print books, but he had so many encumbrances with family and business and everything, which all failed. But since he was, you know, so humble and so committed in his relationships, that ultimately he was, you know, most glorious and successful in the preaching in the West. So we know that Srila Prabhupada had a certain vision for New Vrindavan, and sometimes that gets eclipsed by other priorities. So we have to be sensitive to, you know, the time and the circumstance and the management and the leadership and everything else, so as to not to violate the most crucial dimensions of relationship. But be very hopeful and enthusiastic by adhering to the most sacramental teachings. All this will be fulfilled in time. Anything else? Thank you very much. All glorious to Srila Bhakti Saranta Saraswati Prabhupada. His divine grace, A.C. Bhakti Vinayaka Swami Prabhupada. Ego just loves those kind of words.
You should know you appreciate them.
Okay, so 10 minutes for meeting, huh? Okay.